That's right. Reality check, you know what I mean? Street lights, eh? Dookie. Scorpion. When I was young, I used to dream of being rich. Having a lot of houses and cars, couldn't know which one was which. And finding me a chick and getting hitched. Living the fairy tale life, perfect without a glitch. You think that this would bring me happiness? If at the end of every rainbow there was a treasure chest. Sometimes having more is really less. Take a look inside yourself, you realize you're really blessed. No matter how you're sad and blue, there's always someone who has it worse than you. Sometimes you gotta pay your dues. So don't worry, just push on through.
Keep it in real.
Gotta dig up all my people who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle.
Keep it in real.
To all my homies working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble.
Keep it in real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in drowning in your sorrow.
Keep it in real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure there'll be a brighter tomorrow. I never got to have myself the house, the mansion, and the Benz. I'm not the kind of brother who'd be making mad ends. I got myself a girl, but we be kicking it as friends. It's not enough, well maybe that depends. Again, not everything you want is everything you really need. The standard of society's motivated by greed. Are you prepared to follow? Tell me you prepared to leave. So persevering, you succeed.
Keep it in real.
Gotta dig up all my peoples who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle.
Keep it in real.
To all my homies working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble.
Keep it in real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in drowning in your sorrow.
Keep it in real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure there'll be a brighter tomorrow. All the harsh realities appears to come in twos and threes. Don't worry, cause there'll be a better day. One thing I can promise you, just keep on keeping on. I swear to you, there's gonna be a brighter day. A lot of houses and cars, couldn't know which one was which. And finding me a chick and getting hitched. Living the fairy tale life, perfect without a glitch. You think that this would bring me happiness? If at the end of every rainbow there was a treasure chest. Sometimes having more is really less. So take a look inside yourself, you realize you're really blessed. No matter how you're sad and blue, there's always someone who has it worse than you. Sometimes you gotta pay your dues. So don't worry, just push on through.
Keeping it real.
That's right. Reality check, you know what I mean? Street lights, eh? Dookie. Scorpion. When I was young, I used to dream of being rich. Having a lot of houses and cars, couldn't know which one was which. And finding me a chick and getting hitched. Living the fairy tale life, perfect without a glitch. You think that this would bring me happiness? If at the end of every rainbow there was a treasure chest. Sometimes having more is really less. Take a look inside yourself, you realize you're really blessed. No matter how you're sad and blue, there's always someone who has it worse than you. Sometimes you gotta pay your dues. So don't worry, just push on through.
Keep it in real.
Gotta dig up all my peoples who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle.
Keep it in real.
To all my homies working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble.
Keep it in real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in drowning in your sorrow.
Keep it in real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure there'll be a brighter tomorrow. I never got to have myself the house, the mansion, and the Benz. I'm not the kind of brother who'd be making mad ends. I got myself a girl, but we'd be kicking it as friends. It's not enough, well maybe that depends. Again, not everything you want is everything you really need. The standard of society's motivated by greed. Are you prepared to follow? Tell me you prepared to leave. So persevering, you succeed.
keeping it real.
Gotta dig up all my peoples who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle,
keeping it real.
So all my homies working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble,
keeping it real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in drowning in your sorrow,
keeping it real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure there'll be a brighter tomorrow. All the harsh realities appears to come in twos and threes. Don't worry, cause there'll be a better day. One thing I can promise you, just keep on keeping on. I swear to you, there's gonna be a brighter day. A lot of houses and cars, couldn't know which one was which, and finding me a chick and getting hitched, living a fairy tale life, perfect without a glitch. You think that this would bring me happiness? If at the end of every rainbow there was a treasure chest, sometimes having more is really less. So take a look inside yourself, you realize you're really blessed. No matter how you're sad and blue, there's always someone who has it worse than you. Sometimes you gotta pay your dues, so don't worry, just push on through.
Keeping it real.
Gotta dig up all my peoples who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle.
Keeping it real.
So all my peoples working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble.
Keeping it real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in drowning in your sorrow.
Keeping it real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure there'll be a brighter tomorrow. That's right, Simon. Yeah. Get thanks way up, you know. When you think that it's bad, there's always somebody that's worse, you know what I'm saying? Give your blessings to me.
Well, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Yes, you're listening to the voice, the one, the only, James McCutcheon, with real talk, real heart, and man. Woo! Lord Jesus, do a brother be dealing with some real life issues. Father, I relinquish my will today. Father, I make you Lord and master over every area of my life from A to Z. And Father, because I have made you Lord and master over every area of my life, it is now your responsibility to watch over everything, and I do mean everything, that I have made you Lord and master over. Father, I thank you for that touch again this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that I get to represent the King. Boy, I have thought about a lot of things. I know being an NBA player. I know being an NFL player. I know being a track star. I know being a gymnast. I know being a high-level dignitary. I know all those things may be amazing and wonderful and great and all that other stuff. But boy, boy, oh boy, nothing compares to me loving you, serving you, knowing you personally and intimately, and to know that you know me, to know that you think about me, to know that you have a plan and purpose for me, man, talking about you is the greatest thing that I can even imagine. I was just sharing, Father, with some people the other day at work, that through all the accolades and all the little accomplishments that I may have accomplished, even marrying the most baddest woman on the planet, when it comes to you, nothing compares. I have nothing to compare it to, because next to Jesus Christ, marriage is the greatest gift that you could have given mankind. But I thank you that I, for the one moment, I cannot ever forget the giver of the gift. So, Father, I acknowledge you today. I worship you today. Lord, I decrease that you may increase. Articulate my thoughts today. I surrender my will today. I, Lord God, James McCutcheon, make everything about you and nothing about me. Because as I've always said and will continue to say, I am nothing no more than a vessel. I am nothing more than a conduit. I am nothing no more than a servant. but I am your son. And for that, I say thank you. Father, I bind anything today that will try to block or stop the move of the Holy Spirit, and I command that peace be still, and this is the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Wow. Am I fired up today? Because, man, I get to interview. Man, let me tell you something. I have done, the other day I was sitting with my beautiful wife, and the other day I was just thinking out loud, and I asked her, you know, I said, how many interviews do you think I have done? And she and I was trying to add up all the interviews along with the messages, but we just focusing on the interviews. And man, I've done a lot of interviews, but this brother that I'm bringing up today, man, I've been knowing this brother for almost 40 years. That's a long time to be knowing somebody. And, you know, any of y'all that really know me know my saying is, are you about that life? Because I would like to really truly believe and know in my heart of hearts that I'm really truly about that life. And so in very few, I know some other brothers that's about that life. I really do. And I can name some names, but I ain't going to do all that for the sake of time. But this brother is about that life. And man, sometimes we get to talking, y'all that really know me know a brother long-winded, but this cat long-winded too. So when we get to talking and we get talking about the things of God, we can hit on subjects from A to Z, literally. And man, have shared so much through this journey of life, man, and he has seen me go through some things, some hurtful things. I've seen him go through some things, some hurtful things. And so today, he finally agreed to do this interview. And so, man, I am so humbly grateful and honored that I call this brother not only my friend and my brother in righteousness, but this is my boy, for real, for real. This is my guy. And I want to bring him on and kind of share him, because God been trying to get me to get this brother for a minute. Now, I say God been trying to get him, for me to get this brother for a minute, but I myself have been trying to get him. But he finally, you know, locked down. And I just want to tell him some things personally. So, Steve, can you call in, man? Just hit the call in button, and it'll buzz to your boy, and I can bring you on, and we can get into this thing, man. I am so excited. I see he's on. So if you can hit that call in button, it'll start buzzing to me, and then I can connect you. And so I'm going to just wait for him to hit that button, and I can connect him, and we can get on into this interview, because man, this is going to be a really good one. It's going to be a really powerful one. And I know God has given me some really strong questions to ask this brother, and that I believe is going to help a lot of people. I really, truly do, because that's what this is for. This is my, what I call my Holy Ghost Oscars. So this is kind of for me to be able to identify you, because God has identified you as being one of those people that is about their life and that is living a kingdom and righteous and holy life. Not saying that you're perfect, not saying that you got it all together, not saying that you got all the answers, not saying none of that, because none of us do. That's why we need a Savior, because if we were perfect, what need would it be for Jesus? But because we are not perfect, we have someone perfect to turn to. Every time I think about that, it just really does my heart overwhelmingly great and with joy and gratitude. So, Steve, if you can hit that call in button, brother, we can get this. We can get the party started, because ain't nothing like a party like a Holy Ghost party. Yes, I said it. Everybody think they be having some real serious parties, but ain't nothing like a Holy Ghost party. So, brother, if you having any problems, I'm going to text you someone's number because I can't do it, that can kind of help you navigate through this if you having some problems, because obviously you having some problems. First of all, can all you guys hear me? Somebody shoot me a thumbs up or a yes that you can hear me, because I want to make sure that if you can hear me, he should be able to hear me, because I'm asking him to call in, but he's not responding. So I don't know if that's that he don't know how to, or if it's just that he may not be able to hear me. So since you guys say that y'all can hear me just fine, I'm going to, hey, Marcus, I'm finna shoot you his number. And since you are my executive of executives of executives, if you will reach out to him and see if he's having any technical difficulties or any problems with calling in, I would appreciate it. So that's what I'm going to do, Marcus. So I'm going to send you his number and you just reach out to him and see if he's having any problems so we can try to get him on the line. Okay, Marcus, his number should be coming to you like right now. All right, Marcus, if you could reach out to him and try to get him connected for me, man, I would really appreciate it. In the meantime, I'm a freestyle a little bit. You know, brother is a freestyle rapper. I ain't gonna rap, but I am gonna freestyle and just kind of have a conversation with my people for a minute till we get this technical difficulty, get him connected. I've sent Marcus his number, and Marcus should be reaching out to him and walking him through what he needs to do. But however, man, I am so grateful, man, that I want to personally say to all of you guys that have been praying for me and Alicia, and we are going through some really serious storms and some really serious challenges, but nevertheless, God has been completely faithful. And he's really been totally committed, and what he does is make the impossible possible. My wife had a procedure on Friday. Glory be to God, the procedure went well. She is recovering, and I just want to make sure that you guys, continue to pray for us, man, because anytime that you are dealing with spiritual warfare, and you doing stuff for the king, it's going to be always opposition. So we appreciate you guys' prayers and stuff. Everett Powell, are you on, brother? Steve E. Ray Powell, are you on? I see I'm connected, but you are not actually in the room. So try to call back in and let me try to connect you again. All right. Steven, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. If you can, turn your volume up a little bit. I can barely hear you, but I can hear you. So turn your volume up a little bit, okay. And then we can go on and jump.
Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you a little bit better.
Okay. I'll get closer to my mic. All right.
Okay. All right. So, man, we're going to jump right into this because a brother want to make sure, man, but I just want to, first of all, tell you thank you. You know, I know this has been a long time coming, man, and I know it took a minute for us to get here, but, brother, God's timing is perfect timing. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, hey, man, it's all glory be to the Most High. So I want to ask you this question, then we're going to jump right into this interview. Because, hey, man, I'm going to tell you something, boy. You know, man, you go back a long, long way, man.
Yes,
I mean, ooh-wee, man. Like I said, almost 40 years of friendship, man. And you know, man, I want to personally tell you in front of a lot of people that's on here, man, guys that I do life with, just as I do with you and that I do ministry with. And God has really blessed me to have some really great men in my life. But brother, you have been one of the few constants. And I have seen you grow, man, in leaps and bounds, brother. I'm talking about to a point where I am so grateful to call you my friend, man, and just to see who the man that you are have become, and that you are even striving to even be more so, and just the consistency of that's how you know you kind of tell when somebody really have connected and caught their stride, because anything that comes with God is consistent, because everything about God is consistent. And so, personally, man, I see you. I see you being a man of God. I see you being a husband. I see you being a father. I see you being a grandfather. I see you being a business owner taking on cats that most people wouldn't even fool with. So I see things about you that a lot of people probably don't get a chance to see or see. So I personally wanted to tell you, man, thank you for being a kingdom man of God, because that's what I see you as, and just personally tell you, man, thank you for being my friend and my brother. Thank you.
Hey, brother, I truly appreciate that. I appreciate the beautiful words.
Well, hey, man, it's all glory be to God. But let's jump right into this, and this is what I normally do, man, when I do my interviews. I ask the question. Man, you have so much history, so I'm going to really try my best to shut up, okay? You know, that ain't always, but I'm going to really try my best today to shut my mouth so I can let everybody get a chance to know you and get a glimpse of seeing who you are the way I see you. So let's try to hold the responses to 2 to 3 minutes, especially due to time's sake. And plus, I want to leave a little room because I generally have a couple of people, so they always like to call in and ask the question. So let's get right into this. Question number one is kind of a standard question that I ask everybody that comes on. When did you give your life to Christ?
I gave my life to Christ at about... Well, I thought I'd given my life to Christ when I was a kid, but really, all I really was doing was going to church. You know, my mother took me to church. I've been going to church, actually going to a church house since I was born. But I truly gave my life to Christ at about 21 years old. About 21 years old while I was working at General Motors.
Okay. All right. All right. Here's the next question. What would you say is the difference between religion and a personal relationship with Christ from a kingdom point of view?
What would I say is the difference between religion and a relationship with Christ from a kingdom point of view?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, half of the question contains half of the answer. Relationship.
Yes, sir.
That's the difference. Relationship. That's the difference between religion and having an ongoing relationship with God is all about relationship. It's all about him hearing your voice and you hearing his voice.
Stevie, a lot of people are asking, can you turn your volume up? Because they can hear you, but they can barely hear you.
Okay. I have it turned up to the max. Can they hear me a little better?
Yeah. Hey, can you guys hear him a lot better? Somebody hit me with a yes.
Okay. Okay. I got a little closer to the mic. I don't know where my mic's working, but I got a little closer to it.
Well, you sound, man, you coming in crystal clear, brother. You coming in like a brother getting ready to host the Oscars right now. So go ahead.
Well, hopefully I'm not getting ready to get slapped too.
Okay. Oh, you crazy, man. All right, so go ahead and finish your response, man. I just had to get that in there. Go ahead.
No, I was just making the point that relationship is the key. You know, having a real relationship with God that you develop through studying his word and through daily prayer is a key.
Okay.
I would say probably the great majority of the body of Christ operates from a standpoint of being somewhat religious, because it's probably not a large percentage of the body of Christ that really makes the investment to pray, to hear God's voice, to learn his voice, and him hear their voice on a day-to-day basis.
If you
put a child in a room with 50 other babies and they're all crying, the reason why you know your baby's sound is because you developed the ear for their voice.
Wow, that's you know, hey man, that's a very powerful response, because the Bible says that my sheep know my voice. And the only way you can know a person's voice is through relationship and through you in communication with a person. Because they can be again, to your point, they can be in a room. And if it's somebody that you talk to on a regular basis, it's like a lot of these guys that I talk to a lot of times we do Zoom meetings. I don't even show our face, and you can't even see each other. And sometimes when you hear a joke, like, you instantaneously know who it is. So I think that's a really... Okay, here's question number three.
Okay.
It's a really good one. We have known each other nearly 40 years. We have both shared and been through so many difficult times. From your perspective, what would keep men from being vulnerable, shedding tears, and saying, I love you?
What keeps men from being vulnerable, shedding tears, and saying, I love you?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, gosh, you know, now I think what we're really talking about, James, is just humility. Just, you know, coming to a place to where you're willing to be transparent. And, you know, most ministry has to do with being transparent. It's completely impossible to minister. And I'm not even talking about from a pulpit. I'm just talking about from talking to a guy at Quick Trip. It's almost impossible to minister anything to someone if you're not willing to be transparent and you know, allow people to see your strengths and your weaknesses.
Yes, sir.
So I would say just, you know, coming to a point of humility, coming to a point to where you're willing to be transparent and show someone who you really are.
No, man. Again, a very, very good answer, you know, because I think everything that encompasses Jesus Christ is through humility. And I think that everything that encompasses man is pride, the opposite. So when you come to a place where you're willing to be, to operate humility and to have vulnerability, to be vulnerable means that you're willing to let someone in. When you are not with anyone in, then that signifies that you are not going to let no one get close. You're not going to cry. You're not. And besides, the world tells you as a man that crying is something that you shouldn't do. The world tells you as a man to not trust and not to be vulnerable with anybody. And God says the opposite. I want you to be vulnerable, because if you can learn how to be vulnerable with people you can't see, sometimes being vulnerable with me who you can't see becomes a whole lot less hard for you to do. So, man, thank you for that response. Okay, here's the next question. What is it in women of Christ having a mentor or an accountability partner? And do you have one?
Say that again, Jane. My phone broke up just a little bit.
What is the importance of men of Christ having a mentor or an accountability partner? And do you have one?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me start at the second part of the question. You know, I view you as my accountability partner.
Okay.
And I think that that's almost just been predestinated. We have so many things in common. It's almost scary. You know, our background is so alike. It's hard for us not to really understand where one another's coming from when we're talking about the things that are happening in life and the things that are happening with us spiritually. And answer to the first part of your question, James, I think it's very important for people in the body, for men, and specifically men in the body of Christ, to have a mentor and accountability partner, because we're all subject to getting on the wrong road. We're all wrestling with the flesh. You know, the Bible says that the flesh wars with the spirit wars with the flesh, and the two are contrary to one another. And because of that, we all are subject to become unfocused sometimes. And you know, even in the world, in an AA program, when someone's going through a regular secular AA program, they connect them to an accountability individual, because even the world understands that when you're wrestling in this daily wrestle in trying to be victorious, you know, none of us is the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. None of us is God. So we all need someone to help keep our hands lifted up. And in return, you keep their hands lifted up. Because while I don't give Satan any congratulations, any dap, he is an ancient foe.
Yes, sir.
He is full of trickery. And he does operate through your flesh.
Yes, sir.
You know, and then we walking around in a fallen world. So with the fact that we're walking around in a fallen world, we our flesh is pulling us one direction and our spirit man is pulling us in another direction, and then there's the enemy and his legion of demons. I think every man and woman, even man and woman of God, needs an accountability partner, someone to keep them accountable.
Well, man, I thank you again, man. That was a really great response, because, you know, man, without that, I mean, especially that piece, even AAA or any type of, you know, drug, depending on those places. It makes it very difficult to be able to relate. So again, man, thanks again for that answer. Okay, here's the next question. Being a black business owner, how have people treated you differently than your white counterparts? How have you dealt with these differences and not become bitter?
Okay. Being a black business owner, how's that different than being a white business owner? How have I been treated differently?
Yes, sir.
As a black business owner, you at some point you realize that you don't really get the benefit of the doubt.
So as
a black business owner, you always have to show your best face. You always have to be on top of the game, because you don't get that benefit of the doubt. You can't show up to a client's house with wrinkled clothes and you know, look like you've been up for a couple of days with red eyes. You'll say, okay, I still want to use your service.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't work like that for a minority business owner. For a minority business owner, you have to do more just to have the same level of success. You have to work hard just to have the same level of success. And the way that I've dealt with it, in the understanding that I have in dealing with discrimination, and I guess that's what we're talking about to some extent, is that I know that my needs are being supplied by God.
Boy, that's a word there.
I know that God has given me favor, and inevitably, I'm dependent on God and his favor, not on circumstances.
That's so good. That's so good.
You know, when you're dependent on circumstances, you got plenty of room to become very bitter and resentful. But inevitably, we understand that the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein it. When you understand that, you know, it's all God's, and he's able to give you favor with himself and with man, that's who I'm looking to as my source.
That's good, man. That is so good.
To as my source, and that has worked out well for me all these 20-something years.
Wow. Okay. Again, another great answer, brother. Okay. All right. Here's the next question. What advice would you give anyone considering their own business and not second guessing themselves to stay the course and not getting discouraged and quitting?
Okay. Okay, my phone broke up a little bit again, James, but it sounded as though what you said was, what advice would I give someone wanting to go into business?
Yeah, what advice would you give? What advice would you give to anyone that's considering starting their own business and saying themselves to stay the course and not getting discouraged and quit?
Okay, I got it. That's a very good question. Well, I guess some of the first advice, and it's really more than one piece of advice that you would give someone who's considering going in business and having the wherewithal to stay the course, because what it's going to take is a tremendous amount of wherewithal. The first advice I would give someone considering to start their business would be to be sure about the fact that being in business is what they should do.
Okay.
You know, because the thing about it is that, you know, there are a lot of books on starting your own business, going into business, and being successful in business. But very few people write. Business is not for everybody. Business, the same way being a, if you asked a surgeon, what advice would you give someone considering and going and want to go to school and become a surgeon? Well, first of all, they'd have to know that they have a stomach for seeing blood. You know, I mean,
yeah, that is a really good prerequisite to let you know up front. If you don't like blood, you ain't gonna make this. Okay,
if you don't like blood, this ain't for you.
Yes, sir.
So business requires kind of a set of God-given talents and abilities. But one of the greatest things that character traits that you have to have to be a successful business owner is you have to have a lot of risk tolerance.
That's good. That's real good.
Because being in business is much more risky than going to a 9-to-5.
That's good. No, that's real good.
You know, you have to have a lot of tolerance for risk.
That's true. Well, I'm going to add one too, but I had a person ask the question in the chat. What type
of... I lost my transmission.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Now, I was saying, it was a person in the chat asked, what type of business do you have?
I own a tree service.
Okay. He owns a tree service. Yeah, what is the name of your tree service, Steve?
It's named True Tree Masters Tree Service.
I'm going to probably have you put some in the chat when we get through. Because like I said, there's a lot of people listening, and this is a tree work. So, you know, this is a way to be able to promote your business, because I'm all about that too. But, you know, one of the other things is it's going to require you to have a whole faith, because you, when you embed yourself, is the total opposite of a job. Because a job, you know somebody's going to give you at the end of the week or however you get paid, but a business is strictly faith and trust in God's favor to be able to know. Are you believing and hoping that they'll say yes? Because either when you're in business for yourself, either you're going to sink or you're going to swim. And most of the time, if you don't have a enough faith to believe in God to do what it takes to do it. It's easy for you to quit because you are under so much pressure. Now, your expectations is the same, is not the same when you know what you got coming in at the end of the week. When you give somebody else, you really strictly want them to say yes. And sometimes people say no, but you still trust that you're going to have enough or have what it takes to take care of your family. That's major.
That is major. Okay? That is absolutely major. Matter of fact, it's going to take faith if you're going into business with your eyes wide open to even have enough faith to even attempt it. Because if you go into full-time business, then you won't have a safety net of having a job.
Yes, sir.
And whoever wrote the book, it takes 5 years before you really know if you're even going to be successful. They had a revelation.
Yes, sir.
They really had a revelation, because it really takes about 5 years to really even to get off the learning curve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're going to do some things right. You're going to do some things wrong. In the meantime, between time, you still have bills to pay.
Yes, sir. Man, now, this is a really, really deep question. And like I said, I prayed about it as I do all the questions that God give me. And man, that God has ordained that I do. But I really believe that this one today is going to touch the heart of some people, because sometimes people don't necessarily always understand why God allows certain people to go through some things and how do they navigate through it. But let me start before I start. I'll start crying in a minute, man. But anyway, let me just read the question. Having lost a daughter at a young age to a tragic accident, what did you learn most about people during that time? And what advice would you give to someone trying to be a friend, loved one, church family that is suffering a loss to?
Okay. Let me just say this, James. On my end, you sound a little choppy. It's kind of going in and out.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Because I want to make sure everybody got that question. So hold on 1 second. All right, is that a little better?
Right now it is.
Okay. So let me read the question again.
Okay.
Having lost a daughter at a young age to a tragic accident, what did you learn most about people during that time? And what advice would you give to someone trying to comfort a friend, loved one, or church family member that is suffering a loss? What advice would you give to somebody that has suffered a loss? What advice?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say, having lost a daughter in a car accident while she was 17 years old, what you mainly learn about people is that I won't say that tragic accidents and the trials and tribulations of life necessarily are meant to be, but what I will say is that you will find out that you're pretty much on your own many times when you're really going through those dark places.
Mm.
And having lost a child is, I can't tell you what the darkest place is. You know, we probably have to ask Job, but I can tell you that having lost a child is a very, very dark place.
Yes, sir.
And it really takes you to a place that you are not even aware of that's there.
Wow, that's good. Okay. That's good.
You won't even be aware. You'll be in a place that will be completely unfamiliar to you when you lose a child. So what you learn about people is that you learn, what you learn as a man of God is you learn that that's when you need God and your faith the most.
Wow.
Because that type of tragedy can not only kill the child, but it can kill you too. Just from the grief of it. You know, the grief in losing a child is almost unbearable. But I would say that, when you're comforting someone who has lost a child, if you've never lost one, then the best comfort that you can give an individual is just to make yourself available for them to talk to, to give them a sounding board, to give them a place, someone that they can just call up and say, you know what, today is just not a good day. I'm really going through it, and I just need somebody to hear me.
Man, I really think that that's some really good advice, because sometimes, you know, just to have a listening ear to give you, you can just come and uncover. And, you know, when he's crying, whether that means, you know, just venting, whatever. But just knowing that science, because everything with Christ is personal. So when we have that, we have relationships that are personal, that's a reflection of God to me. And that's just my opinion. But you have relationships that are personal, it's a byproduct reflection of the heart of God, because everything with God is personal. His relationships are personal. So relationship, we should be in those moments, it should be personal, somebody that you can trust with your heart. And I really appreciate you saying that. Now here's another really, after losing your daughter, word of God, did you ever blame yourself or feel you ever letting your family down?
Yes. Even though I didn't have anything to do with the car accident that my daughter was in, there's as a father, I had a feeling that somehow my daughter died on my watch.
That one right there hit a brother right there, boy. And that's a strong statement right there. There on my watch.
Yeah. On my watch. Because, you know, at no other time do you feel that, you know, you're the protector of your family. And you know, that child died on your watch, even though you didn't have anything to do with it. But that is a feeling. I can't say that's a feeling that all parents who lose children experience, but it's personally a feeling that I felt that somehow there should have been something that I should have been able to do in order for that not to have happened.
Yes, sir.
You know, I didn't know she was leaving school to go to lunch with friends. You know, I thought, well, I should have known that. I didn't know that, you know, they happened to leave school on that rainy day. I thought to myself, maybe I should have known that. But the truth of the matter is that I felt to some extent that she had died on my watch, and I felt somehow that, you know, am I somehow responsible or somehow contribute to the responsibility of this happening? Absolutely, I experienced that.
Wow. No, man, that's some really deep stuff, man, because, you know, even though it ain't biblical, and nowhere will you find it biblical, because it's not that, but in from a humanist side of it, and from a human perspective, we as parents and like have it in your mind that you the children bury you, then you bury them. So from that perspective alone, it takes a whole nother level of that grief aspect, because your job, as you said, as a protector, you is to protect, and even though you didn't have anything necessary to do it, it's still you feel like what you said was so on point that this happened on your watch. And you, as a father, you don't ever want to feel that one of your children, you always want to feel, parent here, being male or female, that your children bury you, not you bury them. So I tell you. Okay, here's the next question. How long have you and your wife, Sharon, been married? What do you about your wife? You have been through so much together. What would you have said that kept you guys from being torn apart? What would you say have kept y'all together?
Well, Sharon and I, first of all, have been married for 33 years.
Glory be to God. Glory, glory, glory. Listen, brother. That is like unheard of, especially in this dispensation. Because now joke a divorce, somebody of them bringing home kids, okay? So now somebody that have been in the game for 33 years.
Yes, sir.
Make up. Boy, you have had to fight to stay married, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, go ahead with it, brother. That's just some funny stuff to me, man. Because that's why I celebrate people. When I hear you've been in 15, 20, 30 plus, now let me tell you something. That's an accomplishment. And I don't care what nobody says. Because folks get divorced now, brother, over some of the most silliest stuff. But to stay in it long, actually enjoy being married. Man, come on, brother. That ain't nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. James, repeat the last part of what you said, because, again, you're breaking up a little bit. It's kind of going in and out. And I think the transmission might be a little slow today, but repeat the second part of that question.
Okay. The gist of it, what have kept you and Sharon together?
Okay. What have kept us together?
Yes, sir.
What has kept us together has been, and you know what? I would like to say primarily what has kept us together, it's been the overwhelming love that we have for one another.
That's good. That's real good.
I would love to say that. And we do love one another. But the number one thing that has kept Sharon and I together has been number one. I desire not to let down God.
Oh, all right. Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. What? Okay. Now you got to repeat that. And repeat that last statement again, because funny here, that because when you enter, okay, let me just go ahead and put this on front street for all folks that may not understand the concept. When you enter into a covenant, it's what it is, a covenant with a person for better or for worse, for sickness and in health, for richer or poor, to death do you part. And it's three people that you have to consider, okay? Is you, your husband, your wife, and the Most High God. So when you decide that you don't want to be married no more, then not only are you breaking the covenant between you and your husband, but remember, you're breaking it with the Most High God too.
Yes, sir.
You said it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We came into a covenant, and we realized that, you know, we realized when we got married that marriage was more than a government agreement.
That's so good.
Into a blood covenant with one another and with the Lord, and we just had never wanted to let God down in that way. And I think somewhere along the way, we also realized that. Again, you're married for better, for worse, rich or poor. You know, you're not always happy in marriage. You know, one of the times when people divorce the most is when they go through trials. Because when people get under a lot of pressure, the natural tendency is for them to begin to point fingers at one another.
Yes, sir.
And the divorce rate, even amongst people who have lost children, is very, very high.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, I that one right there is a whole level of abortion. That green piece, brother. You don't know whether you want to be asleep or whether you want to be because you're so grieving, so depressed. And when it's like that, man, it puts such a strain on a relationship, because what you said earlier, it's easy to start doing that finger pointing. And in the process, you know, it's a line in a movie, The Shack. And the line in the movie, when they was really going through when they lost their daughter, it was a line where the lady said the husband was walking out, and it was so much tension and stress because they had lost their daughter tragically. Mm-hmm. And when he said one thing that stuck with me above anything else that she said, do not forget each other.
Okay.
Brother Hicks, right?
Okay.
Because when you remember what love did for you on the call, you to do the same thing in your marriage, but that becomes a change in your attitude and your behavior of how you respond to adversity, circumstances, situations, or life challenges. Because if you remember that we love each other, that means that you are willing to sacrifice through all the pain and the hurt and disappointment to walk out that love that you have been introduced to by the Most High God. That's what you and Sharon did, brother.
Absolutely. It always points back to the cross.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that sacrifice, God so loved the world. So
yes, sir.
You, that he gave his only begotten
son. Yes, sir.
Make it more specific. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes, sir. Oh,
Oh, that's so good, man. All right, here's the next question, because we got three questions left, and then I want to open up the phone lines. Okay? All right. You have a son that, in spite of all of you going into him, he still went astray and is now incarcerated. How has this time been for you, and what has the impact been on your marriage? And I know you and Sharon are now raising y'all beautiful granddaughter. What y'all granddaughter engaged to? How?
Sorry, James, the last part of it broke up. I heard you when you said that I have a son that's incarcerated. And how has it affected my marriage?
Yeah, yes. How has it affected you?
Has it affected me?
Your marriage period. Has it affected you personally?
Okay.
I don't really speak for you, even though you know how it may have affected Sharon. You can really only speak for you. So how have it affected you?
Okay. So initially, anytime you have a child that goes to prison, especially when you have really invested in that child and they kind of get off, they get spent off the road and get going in the wrong direction, they end up going to prison. First of all, it's very stressful.
Yes, sir.
Second of all, there's a grieving process that's associated with that also, because this child, you love them and they're getting ready to spend, some years of their life incarcerated, and that's not what you want for them. But inevitably, the way that it affected me is the same way that having lost my daughter affected me. It didn't push me away from God. Inevitably, it caused me to have to draw closer to God in order to find strength in him. There was a period of time when I was angry with God, and that's a whole nother question, whole nother time maybe. But inevitably what it did was cause me to draw closer to God and to depend on him more for that peace and that solace that I need as an individual.
Okay. Now That's really good, man. And again, like I said, man, you know, probably the biggest thing for me that I have gotten a front row seat to watch you navigate through all of this. I tell you, man, I love you so much, and I appreciate to see how you have grown. Because, you know, sometimes, man, in these type of situations, losing a daughter, you know, that's basically almost the same thing. Only the difference is that he's still alive, but nevertheless, he's not present. And it's still, to you as a parent, like a knock or stain on your parenting, even though it's not, because again, he had his own free will, and he's an adult. And he makes his own decision, but nevertheless, it still affects you. But what I have seen this do, man, is really make you press in even more to get closer to God and loving your wife and doing the things that you need to do to stay the course. Because, again, man, when you're going through this stuff, you know, people watch you regardless. But let me tell you one thing that I know personally, that people watch way more when you're in the valley than they do when you're on the mountaintop. Because most of the time, people just want to see what they can get from you. But when you're in the valley, that's where most time people try to see how you navigate stuff
through stuff because you got, unfortunately, you got some people that want to see you succeed and come up, but then you also got some people really want to see you be smashed. That's sad, but true. So when God allows you to navigate and walk on that, and you come out and you standing, and you still talking about him, and you still worshiping him, you still praising him, you still loving, you still encouraging, you doing all that. That says a lot about the relationship that Most High God got that most people do not have. And you find out way, way, way more about people in their suffering than you do when they're not. Trust me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 110%. As a matter of fact, everybody looks good when things is great. It's not hard to look good when everything's great.
Yes, sir. But
when you're in that valley, when you're in that dark place, that's going to determine everything. It's going to determine where your faith is or if you have any faith at all.
That's good.
And it's going to determine how you love an individual. I always told my son that if he ever went to prison for some, or even jail for some reason that he brought on himself, don't call me because I'm not giving you a dime.
Yes, sir. And love made you lie, didn't it?
And love made me lie. Because when I went to prison, you know what? I changed that. And we spent a whole lot of money on lawyers. And I didn't want to ever look back and say, and have regrets and say, I should have done. You never want to look back at your life and have regrets and second thoughts on what you should have done that time.
That's good, man. No, that's so good. Okay, here's the last two questions. Okay, what do you want to leave your family?
I'm sorry, phone broke up, James. Say it again.
What legacy do you want to leave your family?
What legacy would I like to leave my family? Well, primarily, James, I would like to leave my family a legacy of who I am. The fact that I was, first of all, a lover of God. Second of all, a good father, a good husband and a good father, a good provider. And I did everything that I could in order to provide for my family's needs. Now, that's outside of an inheritance. I could say I'd like to leave my family a whole lot of money, and I would also like to leave my family some financial gain, because I think it's a blessing for an individual to leave their family a generational, to leave them an inheritance.
But yes, sir.
See, I would like to leave my family is for them to know who I am as a man of God, as a husband, as a father, even as a son.
That's good. No, that's good, man. Now that's almost close to perfect answer. I mean, because you can leave your children a whole bunch of monetary stuff, money, and all that other stuff, and you could have been a cheater your whole life. You could have never kept your word. You could have been an alcoholic. You could have been a womanizer. You could have been a whole lot of other things. And that's what people don't remember you by. Your money, the success will fade. But your integrity, how you live your life before the Most High God, is what people will remember you by. So that's your point should be. So that was spot on. Thank you.
Hey, James, let me just say this before you go to the last question. I went to a good friend of mine's father's funeral. And the friend of mine's father was, all the years he was married to a good woman, but he was always a womanizer and spent most of the time chasing women in the clubs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to his funeral, the pastor, they had about three pastors that talked about him, and everybody got up and just said he was a good dresser. That's all they could say was he sure was sharp every time we saw him. And then one pastor would sit down, another pastor would get up, and he would comment on it. He would say, man, he was sure a good dresser. That's the only thing they had to say. They all had said he was a good dresser.
Wow. Wow. Nothing about anything else.
Nothing about
no, sir.
Who he was as a husband, because he was a cheating husband. Nothing about who he was as a father, because he was a neglectful father. So they all would just say he was so sharp when we saw him.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That was really sad.
No, that's hurtful for me, man. But again, what makes me strive every day to be the man that God can be pleased with is me seeing the success of other men that's doing it the right way. Also, the failures of the jokers that's doing it the wrong way. James, do not go down that road, okay? So, man, thank you for sharing that. Okay, here's the last one. What do you want people to know about Everett Stephen Pyle?
Well, first of all, what I would like people to know about me is that, number one, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life.
Mm.
Okay, that precedes everything, because everything else really doesn't matter.
Yes, sir.
I'd like them to know that, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I'd like them to know that I'm a different man today than I was 30-some years ago.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And I'd like them to know that I have a great friend in James McCutcheon.
Oh, man. Look, man, don't be trying to make a brother cry on my show, man.
Well, I'm not trying to make you cry, brother, but I'm just stating the truth there. We've been through a lot of similar situations in our lives, and we've both had our share of trials and tribulations. We have bent, but we haven't broke.
Yes, sir.
And we still have them.
Yes, sir. And, boy.
But you know, you've been a friend to me. You've been a mentor to me. You've been a ear to hear what I have to say. And sometimes when you're saying something to somebody, you say it a million times and they're tired of hearing you, but they continue to listen.
Yes, sir.
So I'd just like to say, brother, thank you for being the man of God that you are.
Well, no, man. Hey, man. I give all glory and honor right back to the Most High God, man, because I am only who I am because he saw something in me that nobody else saw. And that's why he still chose to keep me around. And that's why he chose to still love me and embrace me and use me. Because he had a purpose and plan for me even before I even knew anything about it. And so any accolades that someone give me, man, it's going to go right back to God. I appreciate him because it is intentional of being about that life. It is intentional. It is intentional to worship God, to praise God, to get in God's word, to have a prayer life, to minister to other people, to every day, in spite of yourself and how you feel. It is a desire that God be glorified through the life that he has given me, because nevertheless do I live, but it's Christ who lived in me. The hope of glory, because that's who redeemed me. So my life is no longer mine. I don't own any of it. It's all his. For him to do, to work, is the Bible says it is God that works in us to do both the will and to do his good pleasure. When you come into agreement with that,
Oh man, that's a beautiful thing, because everything about that comes with it comes with peace, even in the midst of storms, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of all of that. What comes with that is you coming into agreement with the promises of God and a righteous and holy God, which is so perfect, and he accepts you in your imperfectness. Man, how great is that to be able to worship and serve somebody like that? I was telling another brother the other day, Chris, I was telling him, I was looking at my wife after she had her procedure, and I was just looking at her, and I was thinking to myself that God loves me this much to give me somebody like her. How can I not love him more? Because that's him being intentional about giving me something that I don't deserve, especially with my background. Oh, dude, please. That makes me love him even more. That's why I do what I do, say what I say, and only can I live the way I live by him giving me the unction, the empowering me, and the strength to do so. By every day him touching me to inspire me to go and do what he has purposed and called me to do. So again, thank you, brother, for that and saying that. That really inspires me and challenges me to even continue to keep walking in this thing what we call righteousness and holiness. The following lines is open at my brother. Call in and holler at my man. This is my guy right here. I'm telling y'all, man. This brother got a lot of history. Call in and holler at him for me, please. Somebody call in. If you got a question, comment, or you just want to just call in and tell him thank you for being transparent, because some of the questions was not easy. And some people, you know, would shy away from those type of questions, but he did not. So for that, I have mad respect for him. So phone lines is open. Call in. Hey, Steve, when I close out my show, I always close out my show with a song, right?
Okay.
So I got a song I'm going to dedicate to you. It's going to crack you up, brother. It's going to take you back. Okay. And this song is going to be straight for you, brother, because I know personally that you have had to have this. So I'm going to wait a couple of minutes to see if somebody going to call. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But nevertheless, man, you did, brother. Which I knew you would. I had zero doubt in my mind that you were going to do great. Because that's just, you know, I talk to you all the time. So I know what's in you. And again, man, I knew you were going to do absolutely amazing. And you did. Man, had some really great houses, great concerts. And got me to think of some things, man, personally. And, you know, as I do, once I download this, I go back and I listen to it, because, you know, sometimes you get more when you hear something the second or third time than you do the first time. So I'll be going back and listen to this, because I really want to kind of get a little bit more meat off that bone. Sent you a message. She said, can't call in, but thank you for coming on and sharing. You are an inspiration.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And you know, she always say that you want to the few brothers that stopped us, of course, but you one of the few brothers that she would share me with. So, but to say she shared me with somebody else, that
that says a lot about you as a man, because first of all, Alicia, no, I ain't hanging out with some joke. If anybody like that, ain't what I do. Okay, talking some foolishness and nonsense. You ain't gonna be talking to James McCutcheon too much. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I know that for a fact. Yeah, I know that one for a fact. So that's saying a lot.
Boy, yes it is. But anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and get ready to close out my show. Don't let y'all hang up. I got a really, really powerful song. But this song I wanna dedicate it to my boy, Eric Stephen Powell. Brother, this song for you. Again, man, thank you for doing this. I am humbly grateful. You did a phenomenal job. And man, thank you for agreeing to do this. We finally made it happen. You know, we got some more stuff, brother. We're going to have to do it together, man. And I just know I love you. And I know you know that, brother, because I tell you all the time. And I know, you know, sometimes I know they throw you off sometimes when I hit you with it, even when you least expect it sometimes. But you should be expecting that from me, because I say it almost every time we hang up. But anyway, man, again, I celebrate you. I salute you, man. Continue to keep walking this walk, man. Living this life to honor God and continue, man, to be a lamp in the light stand. Because we are definitely in a dark and broken and fallen world. I love all you guys today. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for your love, your support. Don't hang up. Let the song minister to you. I will be back on the earth. The Lord says the same in 2 weeks. Man, I love you guys with the love of Jesus Christ, which is an unfailing love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I humbly say thank you for all you guys' support. Just sitting and listening to a brother's heart, man. I do this because God called me to do it, but I also do it because I really enjoy and want to see and help people, provoke people into change, and to be able to help people get set free, and to know that this journey that we are walking on, that we're none of us are walking in by ourselves. We are all in this together. So I love you. Everett Stephen Powell, this song is for you, my brother.